Now, I'll be speaking today from the book of Philippians. I'd like very much for you to take your Bibles and open them, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Now, here's the subject. Who are the Lord's people? Who are the Lord's people? Now, that's my question. In other words, who is a Christian? I'm not asking what is a Christian. I'm asking who is a Christian. And who are the people in this world today, right here in this world today, who are the people of whom it can be said, these are the people of God? Who are the people in this world right now of whom it can be said, this is true Israel? Now, you know and I know that nearly everybody in America claims to be a Christian. Someone recently said that 55% of the Americans were or claimed to be born again. And I find that the words church, Christian, and God are found attached to so many different situations, and some of them are completely opposite. You find the name Christian, the name church, the name God attached to something here and attached to something over here, and these two situations are entirely opposite. They believe exactly opposite, and yet they all call themselves Christians. They all call themselves children of God. Now, we know that the Jewish people claim to be God's chosen people. They say that they are the people of God. And the Jewish people boast of their fathers, their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They boast of David. They wear the Star of David. They look back to their heritage. They look back to their ancestry. They look back to their traditions and all of their rituals and ceremonies. And they say, we are the people of God. And then the Catholics, they claim to be God's people. They boast of their antiquity. They say, we've been around the longest. They boast of their giant empire. They say, we have the most churches, the most people, the most power, the most money. They boast of their rituals, their special mysteries and secrets and all these things, and keep people in bondage to these mysterious rituals and ceremonies. And they say, we're the people of God. And then the Protestants, they insist that they are God's people. We're the people of God. For we have the reformers. We have Calvin. We have Luther. We have Knox and Whitfield and all of these great reformers, these champions of individual liberty and fundamentalism. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the blood, the book, the blessed hope. They use all of these religious cliches. And the Protestants say, we are the people of God. And then you have the modern religionist of America, the streamlined religionist, the new reformers. And they would have you believe that they are the people of God. And they have made faith synonymous, faith in God synonymous with three things: democracy, decency, and decision. That's their platform. This is salvation. This is what it is to be one of God's children. This is what it is to be a Christian. To lay hold on democracy, capitalism, decency, and decision. Make your profession, and you're in the kingdom of God, and nothing can ever take you out of the kingdom of God. It's like one fundamentalist preacher held up his Bible, and he said, this is the United States. Now, is that true? Are they the people of God? The Apostle Paul, in this book of Philippians, that's the reason I ask you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, because the Apostle Paul has some things to say about the true people of God, true Israel, children of God, Christians. And first thing he says here in chapter 3 of Philippians, in verse 1, he says, now, to write the same things to you over and over again. In other words, this gospel that I preach, this gospel of substitution, this gospel of Jesus Christ, this gospel of God's grace and God's glory, to keep preaching it to you and writing it to you and rehearsing it in your hearing over and over again. It doesn't get tiresome to me at all. I don't mind at all. He says, I'm delighted, I'm elated to keep telling you the same thing, because for you it's safe. Safe. It'll deliver you from error. It'll deliver you from error of doctrine and error of spirit for me to tell you those necessary vital things again and again and again. He says in verse 2, now look at verse 2. He says, I warn you. I warn you. I warn you in the church. I warn you who are interested in God and in His Word and in the gospel of Christ. I warn you. Beware of dogs. Dogs. Evil workers. And flesh merchants. The concision. Now, where'd Paul get that kind of talk? Here he is warning people of false preachers and false religionists, and he calls them three things. He calls them dogs. He calls them evil workers. And he calls them circumcisers or flesh merchants who take delight in the flesh and in statistics and in reports. You know where he got that? He got that in Isaiah. Isaiah said the same thing about the preachers of his day. You go back to the Old Testament, you'll find Isaiah talking about the false preachers and religionists in this way. And then you come to the New Testament and Paul repeats it. And you come here today and I repeat the same thing because it's true of most preachers in this day. Listen to Isaiah in Isaiah 56:10. He said, the preachers are blind. The preachers are blind. They're ignorant. All of them are ignorant. Isaiah 56:10. Now you take the Bible and look at it. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. That may be where they got the honorary degree DD, dumb dogs. Who knows? Whitfield said that's where they got it. He says they cannot even bark. He said they sleep. They're always lying down. They love to slumber. And he says they're greedy dogs. They're not only dumb dogs, but they're greedy dogs. They never have enough. Never. Did you ever know one to ever have enough? Every time I turn my television on, they're always don't have enough. Got to have some more. They're begging some more. They never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own program, their own way, their own doings. Everyone for his own gain. You know, if you didn't know I was reading from the Old Testament, you'd think I was reading from today's commentary. From his own position. Here's Isaiah describing the false prophets, and Paul picks it up and says the same thing. And Isaiah said they're blind to the word of God, they're ignorant. He said they're dumb dogs, they cannot bark, they're always sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They're greedy dogs who never have enough, who never can milk the people enough. They never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand the truth. They look to their own way, not your way, not God's glory, not God's way, but their way. And everyone out for his own gain and coming from his own position. Now, here's what we're saying. And Isaiah said it, Paul said it, and I dare say it again. These organizers and circumcisers and baptizers and promoters and soul winners are making converts and proselytes only to religion, not to God. They're not making men and women children of God. They look to their own way, their own gain, their own success, their own programs, and they never, never, never have enough. Oh, for a discerning ear. Oh, for a discerning spirit. Oh, for a discerning heart to recognize God's true preachers. John said, try the spirits, whether they be of God. And here it is. Look at verse 3 now. Verse 3, Paul said, I come to you with the same message, and it's not tiresome to me. I'll continue to preach it because it's safe for you. And I warn you to beware of these greedy dogs who never have enough. Beware of these evil workers. Why, they said to Christ at the judgment in Matthew 7, haven't we preached in your name and cast out devils in your name and done many wonderful works in your name? And he said, I will say unto them, depart from me, ye what? Workers of iniquity, evil workers. Beware, and beware of the flesh merchants, the circumcisers. But here it is, verse 3. He says, we are the circumcision. You see those three words? For we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision, We are true Israel. We are the people of God. And he gives three things here. He said we worship God in the Spirit. Secondly, we rejoice in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, you can't improve on this. These are the marks of a regenerated soul. These are the evidences of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. And these are the undeniable signs of a new heart and a new nature. Look at them one at a time, carefully. First of all, Paul said, we are the true circumcision. We are true Israel, the Israel of God. We are the people of God. Number one, who worship God in the Spirit. Now, my friends, the object of worship is not a place. The object of worship is not a form. It's not a ceremony. It's not an organization. The object of worship and praise and awe is the living God in the Trinity of his sacred person. Whether you're in church or outside, whether you're with people or without people, whether you're in public or private, whether you're at home or abroad, we worship, adore, love, hold in reverence and fear the eternal living God. He's the object of worship. Worship's not a game, it's not a program. Worship is heart communion with the living God. John 4, listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. He said to the woman at the well, he said, true worshipers worship God in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. Paul said, God that made the world, in Acts 17, he said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, he dwelleth not in temples made with human hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. God doesn't need anything. I hear preachers say, God has no hands but your hands. What? God has no feet but your feet. We got a disabled God. God has no eyes but your eyes. God said, my arm is not short that I cannot save. My ear is not heavy that I cannot hear. He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't ask of you. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. What kind of God do you have? A disabled God? We worship God. We worship God. That's the first mark of true Israel, the true circumcision, the true people of God. They worship God. They don't worship preachers and organizations and places and travel to Bible lands to sit it before shrines and idols and pictures and crucifixes. They worship God. They don't need visual aids to worship God because their worship is a heart worship, a spirit worship. They worship God in the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the influence and revelations of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us of sin. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We know not the things for which we should pray unless the Holy Spirit should teach us and pray for us. We worship God. And we worship God in the power and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then we worship God in our spirits and souls and hearts. It's not lip service that we render to God. That's no good. It's heart praise. It's not the outward form. You don't need a uniform or a robe or a candle or a stained glass window to worship God. You don't need a padded pew or a soft padded altar. You need a broken heart. And this thing of worship is not outward form and ceremony. It comes from a new heart, a regenerated heart, a broken heart, a heart of faith, a heart that knows the living God and cares and seeks him. And this worship from the Spirit is in a spirit of reverence. That's right. Holy and reverend is his name. Come before the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. Come before the Lord in fear and trembling. Come before the Lord in humility and submission. Come before the Lord in love and grace. Come before the Lord in faith and devotion. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Know anybody who worships God? That person is a child of God. We are true Israel who worship God in spirit. In spirit and truth. All right, secondly, you see that next line there? It says, we are the true Israel. We are the circumcision. We're the people of God who rejoice in Christ Jesus. I tell you, these are so weighty. These are so heavy. These are so meaningful. We worship God in spirit. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Who is Christ Jesus? A lot of people think they know. But I'll tell you what I believe the Word of God teaches about Christ Jesus. First of all, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you read in the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He's the Son. When you read in the Word of God about the blessed, beloved Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, that's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God, very God of very God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And He's the Son of His glory. He prayed in John 17, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The Son of His glory. And then Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1 tells us that everything was not only made by Him, but for Him. And by Him all things exist, are held together by Jesus Christ. And then He's not only the Creator of all things, but He's the surety, guarantor of an everlasting covenant. That's what Hebrews says. He's the surety of the better covenant. His blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. The Word was made flesh. Yes, God dwelt in a human body. God came to earth. Call His name Emmanuel, God with us, God in human flesh. No less God because He was robed in human flesh, but yet a man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Who is Jesus Christ? He's our righteousness, our sanctification, our wisdom, our redemption, our holiness, our representative. He's our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He's all things. Christ is all and in all. In the program of God, in the purpose of God, in the divine providence of God, in the will of God, in the mercies of God, in the grace of God, in the love of God, in all that God has for any son of Adam, Christ is all. He's our sin offering, and He's our sacrifice, and He's our substitute, and He's our satisfaction. Who is Jesus Christ? He's that prophet likened to Moses. He's that priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Greater than all, as a Moses was a servant in the house, Christ is the son over the house. Greater than the angels, for to which of the angels said He at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. But to the Son He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. He's that great high priest. And He's the altar and the sacrifice and the one to whom it's made. He is the entrance within the veil. He is the interceder. He is the forerunner. He's the mediator and the only one. He is God, just God and Savior. He is the object of faith. He's the theme of our song. Jesus Christ, all and in all. That's who He is. And it's in Christ that we rejoice, in no one else and nothing else. The hymn writer says, come all harmonious tones, your noblest tributes bring. 'Tis Christ, our everlasting God, and Christ, the man we sing. Down to the shades of death, he bowed his holy head. Yet he arose to live and reign where death itself is dead. There the dear Redeemer sits high on the Father's throne. The Father lays his vengeance by and smiles with pleasure on his Son. We are the people of God who worship God in the Spirit and who rejoice and delight and glory only in Jesus Christ. You know any people of God? Do you know any people of God? You know anyone who can call himself Christian? And then here's the third one. Like I said to you, this Paul is a man of who summarizes things. He's always concluding something. Therefore we conclude. And he comes at us with a warning. He said, I warn you, beware. Beware of the deceivers. Beware of the flesh merchants. Beware of the greedy dogs. Beware of the evil workers. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. And like to Satan, they're deceptive, subtle, crafty. They never say what they want and what they are. They're able to camouflage and counterfeit and deceive. But Paul speaks plainly. He says, we're the circumcision. We're true Israel who worship God in the spirit, in the heart, and who rejoice, glory, delight only, not in ourselves, in Christ Jesus. For he says, thirdly, we have no confidence in the flesh. Ours, yours, our forefathers, our future generations, any son of Adam. We have no confidence in the flesh. Let me tell you something. You say, how does a person arrive at this place where you have no confidence in the flesh? Well, when a man truly knows and sees and worships the living God, the almighty, eternal, holy, living God, the awesome, eternal God, in heart and spirit, not in form and creed. And when a man truly sees and knows the Lord Jesus Christ, our great, grand, and glorious substitute, the lover of our souls, who gave himself for our sins, and the agony he suffered, and the price that he paid, it'll bring that man to know himself. And it'll reveal to that man the sinfulness and inability of his flesh. He'll see that when he sees God. Isaiah did. He said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Maybe for the first time. Oh, he'd heard of him, read about him. His ancestors had told him about him, but he saw the Lord. High and lifted up in his holiness, his train filled the temple. What was his reaction? What was his response? Oh, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm cut off. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Job saw this. Job, the righteous man. Job, the moral man. Job, who felt that he knew God. And yet he said, I've heard of you. He said, Lord, I've heard of you. When God appeared to him in chapters 40 through 42, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I hate myself. I abhor myself. I hate my flesh. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. The Apostle Paul saw this on the road to Damascus. He saw the Lord. And he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, well, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm the chief of sinners. He said, in the flesh no man can please God. How do you come to the place of no confidence in the flesh? You'll only come to that place when you see that grand and glorious place where our confidence, grand and glorious person where our confidence may be placed and our trust may be placed with assurance. And you see how weak and wicked the flesh is. I have no confidence in this material world. The fashion of this world fadeth away. It's all vanity, vanity of vanities. All is vanity, the wise man said. And Jeremiah said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. We're so prone to do that. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth me. I, capital letters, am the Lord. There's the object of glory. And if you ever see him, you'll never glory in the flesh again. We have no confidence in the religious world. They can make all the smoke they want to and the noise they want to and the whoopee they want to. I got no confidence in them or you or me or any other son of Adam, professor or non-professor. The outward form and the ceremony and the works and the traditions and the customs are all just so much flesh. No confidence in the flesh. And all that they have done and that they're going to do is all just spinning of the wheels. We have no confidence in the material world, in the religious world, or in our own flesh or feelings. Our trust and confidence is in Christ. Isaiah said we all do fade as the leaf. And our iniquities have driven us away. And our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. No confidence. So I come to this conclusion. Who are the people of God? Who is true Israel? Who is Christian? Not what is one. I've heard 1,000 sermons on what is a Christian. They haven't answered the question yet. But who is a Christian? He's one who worships God in the soul, in the spirit, in the heart, in the Holy Spirit, in a regenerated, renewed heart, in reverence, praise, thanksgiving, and love. He worships God. God's the object of his love and worship. And he rejoices only in Jesus Christ, not in anything he is or he's done. And he has no confidence in his flesh. Now, I have this message on it. This message and one I'll bring next week on When Death is Precious. The title of this message is, Who Are the People of God? If you want it, there's the address. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. Till next week, God bless you.